This is Winfrey, and welcome to our Monday night conference call. And thank all of you who are on listening to us over the internet. And we also have a conference call. You know, we did something last week, which I thought was fun. So I think we'll do this again. I'm going to mute everybody. I'm going to unmute everybody that's on the conference call and have them say hello to all of you who are listening on the internet. And then I'm going to have you guys say hello back to us psychically. Okay? So hang on a second.
Callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everybody is unmuted. I say three, we can say, hello, BTS. One, two, three.
Hello,
hello
BTS.
Yes.
Listener.
Hello, BTS.
Thank you. There was somebody on the caboose there. You too. Hang on.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Now here's where it gets tricky, because you guys on BBS, we don't hear you. But we're going to make the hypothesis that we can feel you. You know, one of the things that happens on these calls is that at some point in the call, during the call, people feel energies. And as you know, I've been having these ongoing conversations with intelligences through people around me. And part of this was to figure out, is this real? And how do I use it for the benefit of other people? And over the course of a couple, 3 years of probably the first couple of years, it was just me and my tape recorder. And just asking questions and trying to say, is this real? Is it positive? Do I trust it? What do I do with all these tape recordings? You know, it's not so obvious how to work this. Even now, it's not so obvious. I mean, the fact that you guys are listening and that we've come thus far is kind of, from my perspective, a little miraculous, because for so long it was like there seemed to be no way that I could figure out of how to put this out into the world and still be me. You know, there's ways to do it, like saying, okay, I'm talking to these guys, we're here to save you, blah, 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 blah. You know, people do that. That doesn't work for me, because then I'm not human anymore. I'm fulfilling some kind of role. So I've learned to see it. It's more like, and I think this is probably closer to the truth, it's more like energetic friendship.
Entry chimes are off. Exit chimes are off.
Okay. Let me start my tape recorder so I don't forget.
Please enter your subscriber PIN, followed by the pound sign. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is Monday, November 16th, and this is Winfrey, and I'm just greeting all the people who listened to this on the replay line or the downloads, because this is where the download would start at this point. And we're just talking about, this is not a normal show, because there are energies on this line, and that we've done this enough, and enough people have felt it, that I don't have to talk about it like maybe it's something that will happen. It happens almost every time, maybe every time. And the reason these energies are here, is the way that I explain it to myself, and you can explain it to yourself any way you like, is that each of us is a multidimensional energy field connected to a human body. And most times, we are not aware of ourselves as a multidimensional field. We are just aware of the physicalness of what existence feels like in this realm. And starting in 2002, I was communicating with intelligences that were not in physical bodies, at least that's what they said, and that they explained that they were part of this field of energy. And then they explained that they had the ability to beam love light into this dimension. And then they explained that they were part of the group that created this realm. Now, that was a large pill to swallow, to think that I am actually talking to the group energy that created this realm. And then they explained how this realm got screwed up and that they were still available to try to help it unscrew, and that it was really hard to get people down here that could get it through clean and clear, and not get it distorted, so that they could assist us. And that the, as they said in Star Trek, the prime directive from their realm is non-interference or free will. So their criteria for helping us was that we had to make a request. And through our requests, they had the ability to help. And in watching how this has unfolded for the past few years, I see how I reverse engineer things. I just watch and see, well, what happens if I do this? Will they do that? And if this happens, does that happen? And how does this feel? And basically, it's been pretty consistent. They do seem to be paying attention, at least from how it looks from my little physical self. They're paying attention to this group. They're paying attention to these calls. They're creating opportunities to connect with people on these calls. People can feel something going on. We do meditations, and people can feel the energy shift. People put something into the light, or they create an intention or a prayer, and something in the physical shifts, sometimes miraculously. Sometimes things happen that are impossible, and people's lives are changing. Like, people are getting more relaxed, their relationships are getting better. And so I've been watching this now for a few years, and a few years ago I would not have said what I just said. In fact, there's some people that are still listening on the line that started out a few years ago, and if they recall, I kept saying, this is an experiment. I have no idea what I'm doing. I got this voice talking to me. They say they can do this, so let's try this. And I'm very empirical. I have to see something work myself in order to be willing to share it like this. And I have seen it enough, and those many of you who are on the lines have observed it, to give it some kind of credence that something is going on. So we do these calls 3 times a week, and each call is a little different. Our Monday night call, we have myself and Terry, who is not here yet. And now that I... Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Oh, she is here. Oh, good.
Yes.
I was afraid I was going to have to make this all up myself. Okay, good. I'm glad you're here. Okay, so on our Monday night calls, it's evolving this way. I want to say it's evolving because it seems to be the best use of this call is to have a topic. And that topic And Terry is able to be a source that can communicate the words of these intelligences. And if you read conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, you can read the whole story of Terry and how this all got started. And I would say that she was as incredulous as I was as it was happening. And, you know, the idea of coming on a live call like this and be relaxed enough to do a public channeling and is very rare in this realm, particularly for the magnitude of the sources we think we're working with. Because basically, to do this, I have to be extremely humble. Terry has to be humble. We all have to be dedicated to service, because if there was any kind of other attitude, we might pick up a negative source. And there's a great responsibility in bringing this information and connection out to make sure it's positive. It's much safer to go do something in the back room and say, hey, that sounds good, let's put it out. But here we are, we're doing it publicly, and I do believe we're keeping it positive. And when you listen to these channelings, when you listen to Terry speak, there's always the potential that, of course, there's any kind of potential. There's the potential that a negative source could speak through her, although I don't think that's happened, because she's too dedicated to the service of this. There's the potential that some of her own thoughts might bleed in and get mixed up, so she has strong opinions about something. Sometimes her opinion might bleed through and mix itself up with their thoughts. You see, when we're dealing with group souls and channeling group souls, it's not normal channeling. Although there is one other person that does this, a couple other people that channel the Elohim, you're not dealing with, like, for example, there are some people that channel individual souls that are high and wise. And in that case, you're channeling an entity not so different from you or I that exists, that is deceased, that wants to help down here, and that speaks through somebody and has kind of wisdom to offer. And sometimes they can be extremely wise, but it's still a single entity. When you're bringing in a group soul energy, you're actually bringing in a field. It's a field of energy. And to my knowledge, a single entity that's channeling through somebody cannot bring this kind of, they can be very interesting, but they can't bring this energy into your space in the way that we have been experiencing it on this call. And it's all based on the principle, the law of one, that the entire universe is one being. And so when we're on these calls, we are getting closer to the experience of oneness. And that does not mean that you stop being an individual. In fact, the more that you can actually participate in oneness, the more of an individual, the more your individuality is manifest. Because if you look at people who have done this, they have always been, no one would have said they weren't an individual. We can look at Gandhi, who, not necessarily doing what we're doing, but was a person who manifested love for his people and created miraculous transformations in India, and actually, through nonviolence, caused the country of India to release itself from being a British colony. India used to be a British colony, and there was this desire to separate from being a British colony, and there was no civil war. It was done through nonviolence. And I don't think it was done because England wanted to give up India. And we can look at other people who, in their ability to energetically connect with a large group, caused something miraculous to happen in this realm. We could look at Martin Luther King, who represented and took responsibility for the unconscious desires of black people to be free and equal, and became the focus of that for this country, and went a very long way in causing that to occur. And nobody would say he was not an individual. So what we're doing is we are doing a temporary elevator ride to larger realms of oneness. And there's an experience that's not easy to put into words, but I believe many of you who have been coming into these lines have had that experience. And it's, you might call it expansive. You might call it, I can feel something. You might call it very relaxed. But there's an energy that is descending on all of you that I believe is coming from way up high in the realms. It's intelligent and it's conscious. And it wants to connect with you. And the way it connects is surrounding you with love, light, energy. And I think that of all the things I've learned how to do from these channelings, it is that ability to invoke that for myself and invoke it for others who are participating. And it's a very sacred and precious experience in this realm. And I'm not doing it because I'm anything special, except determined and trying to figure out, what does this mean, these conversations I'm having? Who are these guys that I'm talking to? What is the potential here? And of course, the topic that we announced on Message a Day was religion, because I got the idea, and I asked questions about this, that it was this kind of experience that people would have that caused religions to start. It's not because they wanted to believe in something. It's not because they were mentally saying something or needed to believe in something. It's because they felt these energies that maybe they hadn't felt before, and someone was telling them, here's those energies, and once you feel it, there's nobody that can talk you out of it. Of course, when you try to explain it to someone else, you sound like a fanatic. You sound like, it's like I've watched this, that it's very hard for people to share this with other people. And you can do it if you can learn to invoke the energies. And it's almost, if you notice that when I do this, I am not even trying to do it. I am just being authentically myself. And it's to invoke it for someone else. You have to come into these calls, come into the lines, read our materials, And just like it took me a couple of years, you know, there's an opportunity to immerse yourself into this experience, and then you have the ability to share it with someone else, or transmit it to someone else. It's more like you're holding the energy as opposed to saying, talking about the energy. That's where it gets screwed up. So when you're first experiencing it, don't try to explain it to other people, because they're not going to get it. And they may never get it, because who knows what the factors are of serendipity, coincidence, whatever, that have brought us all into this space together to share this experience. I know that, and now I want to qualify and say there may be some of you listening that are not having this experience and that are wondering what the hell I'm talking about. So for those people, let me share that this is an experience that I believe that is possible for anyone that comes into the line often enough. For anyone that reads my materials, because for many people, the reason they can't have this experience is because their mind is still ruling them. And so the mind tries to understand things, and there's no way to understand this. So while your mind is trying to figure out how to understand it, it will block the experience of the energy. Another thing that sometimes can stop the energy is having patterns of trauma, deep trauma that come from other lifetimes that you're still holding in your system, because those traumas will hold a rigidity of your energy field and will not let it expand to let go so that you can feel energy fields around you. Like, for example, if you've been deeply hurt or wounded, abandoned, then your energy field is afraid of that happening again. So it holds itself into rigidity and won't allow itself to open. And this is not something you can do with your conscious mind. You can't say, open up energy. In those kind of cases, maybe you need some kind of different help to work out those traumas. Maybe you need to read all my materials. You know, it's like your system believes in those traumas. It's just you learn to believe in them. You learn that people hurt you wherever you go. Hey, when I say this, I'm saying it because I used to be that way. I went through periods of my own life like that. And, you know, I put some of my poems out on the Wind Channel and on Message a Day, and I'll be putting more of my songs out. And you'll know that I was not immune to that experience for many years of my life. So I'm not saying this as someone that doesn't understand it, because I do understand it. And actually, I believe Terry understands it. I believe she's had some kind of experiences like that. Daphne understands it. It's kind of like once you're in this realm, it's not easy to go through it without picking up those experiences. And in fact, some of you have the experience of being very loving, but not with discernment. And you've given your love to the wrong people, and you've been deeply hurt, and you've made the mental idea that, oh, God, I can't be loving because if I am, I'll be hurt. And that's a reason to be rigid in your energy field. So there's truth to that, because being loving, there's two kinds of loving. There's a personal loving where you extend your love and you know, want some kind of connection. Then there's unconditional loving. Unconditional loving is where you are in a state of love, and it radiates out to whoever's around you. You can't even stop it from happening. It would be like everybody loves a lover. When two people are truly in love, they radiate a field, and it's really nice to be around them. When two people are in love that have a, even not even just romantic, just have a wonderful relationship, they create a field that makes, that heals the people around them because it's unconditional. So it's not like romantic love where I give you this and you give me that and I give you this and you give me that and maybe we'll be happy. Those are the kinds of relationships you get hurt in. But when you get hurt, then your ability to connect with unconditional love is also hurt. And you're, because that's just all those, every kind of love and expansion becomes like, oh my God, if I'm vulnerable, I'll be hurt. And you know, I'm doing this call and I'm being vulnerable now. I don't even know who's listening to me. And yet I know that there's a number of people that are going to get it. And quite frankly, a few years ago, I would have been afraid. How can I talk to a bunch of strangers like this? How can I tell them this kind of stuff? And I had to learn it by doing. And many, some of you out there have watched the process, have watched me as I've kept forcing myself to do this because I knew how important it was to be able to be in this world and make these connections to other realms and introduce people to these energies. And, you know, we said we were going to talk about how religions got started. And if I'm right, we're talking to the guys that started these religions, so they should be able to share a thing or two with us. And what I'm going to do, I'll take just, you know, everyone says I talk too much. At 6:30, we have 20 minutes, so I'm not going to take a lot more time of me talking other than asking them questions. And the topic tonight is religions and how they got started and how they got screwed up. And we'll just take a quick moment and call in the light. And I'd like to ask you all to shut your eyes. We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we are going to invoke a group connection amongst us all. Now, we've already had that, but I'm just saying it formally. And you can visualize this by just shutting your eyes, sending your energy up through the top of your head. Imagine everyone on this line is doing that. And all our energies combine out there. And they combine, and you're still in total integrity of your own individuality. We're both. We're there and we're here. And then we invite our sources, which have identified themselves to me by the names, the Elohim group and the Ra group. We invite them to join our energies, combine with us, blend with us, braid with us. And remember, when we do this, go as far out as you can and still be safe for yourself. Sometimes you have to build your muscle up to feel these energies and open up this way. And you want to be able to come back when we're finished to being you, to being who you are and being functional and not being a space case. So that's very important. And at the end of the show, I'll bring it back so that we can do that. And some of you I know are feeling the expansion, that we have expanded our space and we are now energetically connected to them. And when that happens, they're hearing you, they're feeling you. Take a moment right now and ask for something for yourself, or for someone you care about. Ask for it silently for the highest good of all concerned, because not all things are meant to happen and they're not for the highest good. Sometimes people have to learn lessons by being sick, but take a moment while we have this energy present, and I'm just going to be silent for about 20 seconds to let you do that. Okay. Keep in mind, this is not magic. They're not doing it for you. You're doing it with them. We are co-creating. We're bringing the energy of other timelines into this timeline so that when you ask for something, you are the asker and you are the listener. But now you've expanded to a big enough space to be the listener. Most of the time, you're not expanded. So you hope that somebody's listening. I'm telling you, they're listening. And what we're going to do is let them do a little introduction through Terry, and then I'm going to ask some questions about how religions got started, and they may want to say something before I ask a question. So, are you in a good, safe space, Terry?
There may be some background noise because I'm in the lobby of the building. And so there may be some background noise.
Okay.
So,
all right.
It will come and go maybe.
Terry goes to different parking lots and different lobby buildings so we can do this. So, okay. I'm just going to stay silent and let them come in when they're ready.
Yes, we create you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is a very good location for doing the channeling in that the energy is contained and the building reflects the energy back, and so it is magnified. We love your topic for tonight, how religions got started. As we have tried in the past to connect with your realm, both Ra, which is Ramon, which is a section of the Elohim and a section of the Ra group, and as both groups have come in to connect with your realm and have found voices within the realm and brought wisdom through, then other individuals have then listened to those voices and have set up ranks. And in setting up ranks of individuals who are in charge of the information, which are not directly connected with our groups, and then fix the information in time and slightly skew it to go along with their viewpoint and fix it in the third dimension, and then do not allow it to change and be freshened with time, then the information picks up tinges of the customs and the habits of the group that is no longer applicable. And at certain times, other individuals come in who are in charge of the information, and they bring in edicts which eliminate part of the original information. And these individuals have high standing, and so everyone begin to follow that individual and believe that they are the one with the word. This is in general how religion gets started. In other words, individuals are able to bring through information, wise information from the higher sources, from the Christic consciousness, which is a band within the raw group of really intelligent, wise, loving individuals who are here to help and to move groups that have gotten themselves misplaced or their location has become outmoded and are able to carry them to new heights, new homes, and new locations. And the Elohim group, which is able to create focusing mechanisms and new life forms and housing for the spirits that become individuals. Do you have questions?
To reiterate what you were saying, and then maybe just tell me if I'm correct here, is when a communication would start with someone, there would be a predisposition to create rank. In other words, perhaps that person could say, I'm better than other people. You must come and do this for me since I'm doing this. And then the person would elevate themselves, and then of course somebody would take a channeling like this and they'd say, let's go into a church and just repeat this out loud because this is the words of the Elohim, and people would pay money to go to the church and they would, people at the top would have the benefits of whatever power or money they were getting as a result of being an intermediary, or perhaps maybe they weren't, but the people next to them or next in line would take that position. And before you know it,
yes,
the energy wasn't coming through anymore, just
yes,
the...
Yes.
Did I describe that kind of accurately?
Yes, very often the messenger and the source of the message are confused. The individuals think of the messenger very often as being the source. That's why sometimes messengers get themselves into bad trouble. When they bring the message, individuals don't want to hear. For instance, a runner in Roman times bringing a message to a group that wasn't doing the messenger, but the individuals didn't like the message. And so they blame the messenger. Now, the reverse is true. If the messenger has very wise and wonderful information, the individuals can get the messenger confused with the source. The messenger is the messenger, and the source is the source. So one tends to, when it's very wise, wonderful message, to elevate and celebrate the messenger. Therefore, one needs to separate, even in a wise and wonderful message, the source from the messenger and not give all kinds of blame and accolades to the messenger, but even the source should be viewed as a companion and a friend, not as something miraculous to give accolades and to worship and bow to. And even the higher sources learn and can grow and can understand. You see, the higher sources start from a viewpoint of total love. When an individual from the highest sources comes into their density, then they take on some of the couching of the third density, which may have detriments, power, suffering. And when they take that on, if they hold on to it and do not flow it back out and let it go, then they get grounded more into the third density, and they can be then overtaken and lose their power because of their own giving up of their own self-worth and their own power. Does that make sense?
Yes, it did. You know, I could ask questions about the history of various religions, but I don't think that would be a very good idea because it may, for somebody that has a very strong religious belief in a certain way, I don't want to undermine the way they choose to make their connection. But perhaps one of the best representatives, I even saying this, I could get myself in trouble, okay? Let's just say there's been lots of representatives that I would venture to guess had some kind of communication going with you guys. Say, for example, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, who else? I don't know. Hindu, they have the Upanishads, and Krishna, and whatever. And without me asking specific questions, is there anything that you can share about any of these historic figures that have influenced religion that would seem be clear and safe to say?
Yes. From our side, you watch your side for individuals who are ready to share our space in our energy and information. When we see an individual of that nature, such as yourself or Daphne or Terry, we then make ourselves available. They also include David Wilcock and others. The Dalai Lama. Depending upon the orientation of the individual, he is sent messengers from the group that he was most likely aligned with. And It is a joyous connection when an individual such as Buddha or the Dalai Lama or others, even John Roger, are available, and we can make the connection with the connection is who visits the individual, and the connection is made according to the orientation of the individual that is opening up to the higher energies through humility and prayer and the quieting of his own mind and the availability for connection. It is joyous in different groups connect depending upon the orientation of the individual.
Thank you. You know what? It's 7:49, and we're supposed to be finished at 7:50. And I really thank you for sharing, because I think that that was very, very profound information from your side, looking at our side, about how things work. And is there anything you'd like to say before we close?
It is our great joy to share this information and to connect with yourself in your channel and channels and Divi Lokapak and Carla Lockhart and all of the individuals on your site, light workers everywhere that are open in their own way. The Dalai Lama, we thank you. We love you all, every listener on the line and every light worker in each individual, whether or not they are light workers. Adonai.
Thank you. Thank you all for being